Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Saturday, we did a rebroadcast of a previous broadcast. On Friday, though, we talked to Cliff Maloney. He's president of Young Americans for Liberty. YAL is what their nickname is. YALiberty.org is the website. But Cliff did a phenomenal job. We talked about Operation Win at the Door and the tremendous job Campaign for Liberty has been doing on the ground. Even though President Trump is in a battle of his lifetime, the fact is other Republican candidates won big time all across the country. Big time thanks goes out to Young Americans for Liberty, and I think it's quite a bit of credit they deserve for those wins across the country. Ongoing lawsuit by YAL against the city of Dallas, Texas, over the cancellation of their main event. It was called Mobilize 2020, and they just shut it down, canceled it, and took a bunch of money from them. We also talked about Anderson Cooper declares President Trump is like an obese turtle, laying on his back, flailing in the hot sun. How come the Democrats, when they're very abusive with their language, nobody seems to call them out like they do President Trump? The double standard reigns supreme. He who owns the media makes the rules. I stand by that, and you see it literally every day on steroids right now. Hour two, we had President Trump delivering remarks as the vote count continues, saying it's an absolute fraud. He's taking it to court. Election chaos continues as the Department of Justice sends armed agents to investigate. The Department of Justice also now looking into vote fraud evidence in Nevada. Utah, for now, jury trials suspended, and no one knows when they'll come back. Can they just suspend jury trials indefinitely, ladies and gentlemen? Can they mandate masks indefinitely? Well, that is what they're doing, to say the least. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place for Friday. Without further ado, news that Edwards refused to use starts now. Kurt Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
And as always, our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, with us as well. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's good to be with you.
All right. Without getting too far into the weeds, before we start with a couple of topics Lowell has, did Donald lose already? The AP already called it, Kurt.
Not in my book, Sam.
Right.
I think
what
there's
about
a whole
you?
Lot of if you're going to really, you know, call for free and fair elections and you get the truth, then I think there's a lot of work to be done, in my opinion.
All right. What about you, Lowell?
Yeah, I agree, Sam. At least in six different states, there's additional investigation and possible recount and or a declaration of a spoiled election that would force a new election in a presidential race, and in perhaps several other races too, by the way, not just the presidential.
All right, we're just teasing the audience here, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit. I completely agree with Kurt Crosby, and I'll make one statement to kind of highlight the discussion and the turmoil that will come later, and the outcomes and everything else. We will break it down. I don't believe it's the most important item on our agenda, but I do believe it's a critical discussion point, and I will say one thing again to highlight how much I agree with Kurt. The AP called it. Did you just hear me, ladies and gentlemen? They didn't say the United States called it. The Electoral College called it. The vote counts in certified states called it. They didn't say anything like that. They said the Associated Press called it. If that doesn't send tingles of paranoia up and down your spine, I don't know what will, ladies and gentlemen. The AP called it. Who do these people think they are? They were the ones that didn't want to announce, supposedly on election night, because they were afraid they might get it wrong or jump the gun. Or now there's vote challenges, there's recounts, there's still counting of ballots, there's lawsuits, and the Associated Press is going to call it. We'll get to it, ladies and gentlemen. But first, Lil Nelson wanted to tell you, he went to Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and had a phenomenal time, right, Lil?
We did, Sam. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I attended a two-day defensive handgun training course there at Front Sight, Nevada. Now, Front Sight's about 45 minutes west of Las Vegas, which is, or 15 minutes east of Pahrump, Nevada. And Pahrump is an hour west of Las Vegas. So now most people who attend courses at Front Sight, they find lodging in Pahrump. My wife and I love the course, Sam. The classes, the Front Sight training facility, they have 50 firing ranges. They and in fact, the morning we got there, they accommodated 650 people, which was the morning of October 23rd. I attended just last weekend again for a two-day course, a second time, and they accommodated 780 people that morning. So basically, they do this from 6:30 to 8 o'clock on the morning of the first day of your course. They get you registered, outfitted with rental equipment if you need some, check your weapons and everything like that, and off to the correct range. They do all of that in just minutes. They did it efficiently. They did it cordially. Made you good, feel good to be there. And Sam, we had a great time there. We had one range master and two assistant instructors on our course that handled 42 people on a single course. And ours was the defensive handgun course. Obviously, they teach other things there. They teach handgun, shotgun, long gun, the martial arts, the heavy ropes course. They even teach teenagers there. And so it's a really family-friendly environment. We just had a totally awesome time. 200 rounds in 2 days, learning how to run our weapons. It was very, very fruitful. Now, and then, like I mentioned, this past weekend, I attended a second class at Front Sight. It was a two-day handgun skill builders course. I did that with a half a dozen of my friends on the board of directors for the Platform Republicans PAC. In fact, by donating $100 or more to this PAC, a person like you, anyone who does that, can get a free two-day course at Front Sight valued at $1,000. So this Political Action Committee, Sam, is dedicated to electing Platform Republicans to the Utah House and Senate. By a Platform Republican, we mean somebody who will actually adhere to the party's platform and be accountable to the citizens of the state, not to special interests, not to lobbyists. Well, we totally had a great time. I'll be going back next year, probably several times. I really want to take their two-day shotgun course next. Because it's a great place. Citizens just like you and me, as well as law enforcement personnel from around the country, they benefit from this training. I have been around guns all my life, Sam, but I learned things here about guns and gunfights I never knew before. For example, the average length of a gunfight on the street is only 2.5 to 3 seconds.
Now, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there, because that just shocks me. And yeah. You would say, why is it so quick? Because somebody knows what they're doing and somebody else doesn't.
Yeah, it's incredible. 2.5 to 3 seconds, the average length of a gunfight. And the average number of attackers is 2.5 or 3, right? So you'll either have 2 or 3, but you'll often have 3 attackers. It didn't used to be that way. 30 years ago when Front Sight first started, the average was 1. But now they travel in packs. The bad guys like to travel in packs. And so you have to be very, and so part of the training is that if you have to use deadly force, if you have to use deadly force, and they're very cautious about that, and you take down an attacker, but you fear for your life, and you have to take down an attacker, you immediately check for his, friends, his fellow gang members, cohorts, opponents, basically we call them. in case they're also lurking, because they often travel in twos and threes. So, and we learned the color code of mental awareness, the combat mindset, and most importantly, the criminal and civil liability you may face after you're forced to defend your life with the use of deadly force. Talk about great training, Sam. It was both sobering but encouraging, and I enthusiastically endorse it. I hope all of our listeners will take the time and take the opportunity to go to Front Sight Nevada, and the sooner they do that, the better. Because, by the way,
we don't get paid a penny for saying this. We just do believe that they're patriots. We believe they're pros, and we believe that that kind of training is worth the weight in gold. The reason we say this, folks, is because, you know what? Guns are wonderful things. If they're in the hands of, number one, a person who has the proper intent, which is self-defense and keeping law and order and peace. But it takes somebody who understands how to use that weapon, who understands the stakes of when to do what, somebody who has gone through the routine over and over and over and over so that mistakes aren't made, so that a practiced hand can be the steadying influence. Anyway, we don't get paid a penny. We're just telling you Front Sight's phenomenal. Tell you what right now, Lowell had a great time, and you can too. When we get back, we're going to talk about the Utah governor, whacked out Gary Herbert. Isn't he governor, what do you call it, on his way out at Lowell?
Yeah, lame duck.
All right, lame duck is what they call those guys. That's right. But I don't know that the next guy's a whole lot better. Hang tight.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. By a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, I'm afraid our whacked out governor's got it wrong. Spencer Cox has been on this radio program. He'll be the governor-elect. I guess he is the governor-elect. Lame duck, Gary Herbert, doing us all harm in my humble opinion. Now, I like Spencer Cox. He's a nice guy. He's been on this program. He's very polite, very, respectful, and I was to him as well. I'm just starting to get concerned because I believe our politicians are being taken for a ride. What I don't know is how involved they are in this. Are they just, being led around by a ring in the nose, so to speak, and just doing what they kind of think is best? Not really knowing, and are they ignorant, or do they really know what's going on? Either way, the battle's on, and the governor just threw down some serious restrictions in the state of Utah, Lowell.
Boy, he sure did, Sam. Last night, 9:30 p.m. local time here in Utah, Governor Herbert Ed broadcast a message from his office there, I guess in his home there. The governor's man, I don't know where he was. He recorded it there, probably at his governor's office at the Capitol, and it aired last night at 9:30 p.m. Okay, so he declared a state of emergency, which would last precisely 2 weeks. Okay, 2 weeks. Where have I heard that before, Sam? This emergency is going to last for 2 weeks. Well, you know, we heard that back in March, in the middle of March, when Tony Fauci said we need to be careful for 2 weeks. We need to stop what we're doing and shut down for just 2 weeks. We need to flatten the curve for 2 weeks. Now, that's what we heard. What did he do? Well, he issued a statewide mask mandate, a restriction on social gatherings, a curb on extracurricular activities, and mandatory testing for students. So those four things.
And so, hold on. I want you to repeat those four just so they're clear.
Yeah, yeah. So, and we'll walk through them a little more slowly. So the first was a statewide mask mandate, which means that businesses throughout the state of Utah now must require employees to wear masks while promoting patrons to wear face coverings inside the establishment, okay? In other words, you got somebody greeting you at the door wearing a mask and asking patrons to wear masks as they come in. Each business will be expected to post signage outlining the face mask requirement, the face diaper. Any company that fails to do so will be subject to fine, okay? So that's the mask mandate. Number two, the social gatherings being restricted to household groups. So if someone's in your household, then you can socially gather with those persons. But state and local authorities will prosecute those who do not comply with the new restrictions, according to Governor Herbert. Organizers who violate these directives will be subject to fines up to $10,000 for each occurrence. So that would be like, you know, if I were to hold a meeting, for example, like the Highland meeting we have on the first Friday of every month, then according to Governor Herbert, I would be subject to a $10,000 fine for hosting and inviting people to that meeting, because people who are not from household groups would be gathering there. That's number two. Number three is extracurricular activities, okay, except for intercollegiate activities. Are on hold. So extracurricular activities are on hold. These are activities such as intramural sports, club sports, city-sponsored sports, city-sponsored activities, and so forth. Now, he accepted intercollegiate activities because the intercollegiate athletes already have testing and so forth monitoring in place.
Yeah, he also accepted it because there's big money there, and he better not cross that line or people are going to start to riot.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, number four, he ordered mandatory testing for students, an accelerated testing program basically for asymptomatic students, meaning if you, even for individuals that don't have any symptoms of the flu or the COVID or whatever, they get tested too. Basically, he's going to focus on college students and those involved in extracurricular activities. Why? Well, because apparently this new age group, this is the new age group, 18 to 35, who are spreading the COVID. I just have to laugh when I say that. Yeah, well, they're spreading it, right? The asymptomatic 18 to 35-year-olds, they're the spreaders, folks, the ones that don't look sick. Yeah, right.
Used to say to your kid, are you sick? Now you say to your kid, you're sick, you just don't know it. But, buddy, you are sick, you got that. Okay, this is a right. Psychotic turn of events that we have never seen in the history of the world. You don't know you're sick, but you're running around killing everyone. You're sick for sure because a COVID test said so. Coco said so. So you're sick for sure. Okay, it is absolute insanity. Now, the problem is we don't know where people stand. Does the governor really know this is a fraud? Or does the governor just think he's doing what's right? That's where I really have a hard time, Lowell.
Me too, Sam. Now, Defending Utah did a nice piece where they talked about the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And apparently back in July, Governor Herbert said something that led them to believe that he was relying on the 10th Amendment in order to do what he did, which at that point in July, basically, he called another state of emergency. But I think that's an erroneous understanding of the 10th Amendment. It doesn't give the governor any more authority. The 10th Amendment simply prohibits the general government from doing anything that's not specifically outlined in the U.S. Constitution, the Blueprint for Liberty. So I think he may have a misunderstanding of the Constitution, Sam, which doesn't inspire me with confidence in our governor if he totally misunderstands the 10th Amendment. But, that's what their take on it is. And one of the most chilling parts of his statement about the fourth point, it was this. He said, this will transition to eventual workplace testing for people 35 years and younger, as that age demographic is more likely to be asymptomatic, right? So not only is he going for students right now, but he's going for eventually workplace testing of people 35 years old and younger. And the funny thing about this, Sam, is that this is a two-week mandate. How's he going to get to the workplace in 2 weeks? Well, he's going way beyond the 2 weeks. That's why I made a big point for that 2 weeks. It's a charade, at the beginning of our talk about this governor mandate, because it's not for just 2 weeks. No way could he get to the workplace testing in just 2 weeks. It's going to last a lot longer, folks, and we better kick back a lot harder if we expect to maintain some liberty here in the state of Utah.
Now, here's the interesting thing about this as well. Number one, we're really relying on the following things. Test, trace, and isolate. And you got to really kind of dig into that when you think about it. So, hey, we're not shutting down businesses, but if you don't put up mask signs and if you don't mandate masks, you will get $10,000 fines per occurrence. Now, folks, that is serious, serious business. My response is, where does he get authority without the legislative body? He tried to put it in the state of emergencies, and the legislature has said no. But he said yes. The battle's on regarding the checks and balances in the state of Utah, as it is in the nation. Okay, but here's the real question. If we decide we're going to trace everything and everyone, he's now called out the National Guard for stepping up of tracing. Lol. So now, yeah. Even if you don't have the cocoa, even if you test whatever, they're going to continue to contact trace. And I mean, every one of us knows people who got the supposed cocoa. So now what that means is, hey, they're going to contact trace to everybody and track you down. Where were you? Where did you go? Who are you? Where are your papers, lol? We're contacting you because you were in the same place with so-and-so who was, and we're not going to tell you who so-and-so is. We're just going to tell you you were in a place where you are exposed. How much tracing, how much lockdown can we accept on the back end of this as justifiable? I mean, you're violating the Constitution literally at every turn, because what you're saying is, because you were near someone, we don't know if you're sick or not, but because you're near someone, we're going to now track your phone number. We're going to track your address. We're going to track your name. Wherever you go, you're going to start to write down where you were, who you were with. And on the heels of this is an app teamed up with your cell provider to mandate reporting. The only way to get out of reporting eventually will be no cell phone for you. And so he made the point, then the vaccine comes. And, where is this going to lead? Is what you really need to ask the governor. And it's not just one thing to say, hey, we're trying to slow the spread. This goes into, we're going to literally contact trace you. And then what, isolate you? What do they do with you if they find out you've been near the cocoa? Lock you up, bro? What are they going to do? We'll talk about it.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani says as many as 10 lawsuits alleging election fraud will be presented this week. Giuliani goes on to say there is strong evidence that this was an election that in at least 3 or 4 states and possible 10, it was stolen. Now, you can't let an election go into history without challenging that. Alex Trebek has lost his battle with cancer.
This is Jeopardy!
The 80-year-old Jeopardy game show host holds the record for the most episodes spanning 36 years.
Alex Trebek!
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome aboard.
In March 2019, he had been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer and was among a small percentage of people to live a year or longer with the diagnosis. In July, he published his memoir, The Answer Is, Reflections on My Life. Mr. Trebek died at home in Los Angeles, California, Sunday, after more than 18 months fighting pancreatic cancer. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I've been taking vitamins off and on my whole adult life, and I've never seen any change, not like this, not since I've been on Balance of Nature. I used to take prescription medication for muscle aches and stuff. I don't take that anymore. I wish I'd have started it back when I first heard about it on the radio. And if I can give Balance of Nature any advice, keep it out on the radio, because I still hear these commercials from time to time, and I'm thinking, you know, you people need to listen up. I mean, I'm over 50. And, you know, your body starts wearing down. But Balance of Nature has literally changed my life. It really has.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
With zero American states certifying their ballot counts, a slew of lawsuits to follow election irregularities, and the electorate not meeting until December, the election is still in question. That didn't stop mainstream media and Joe Biden from claiming the election. Also not recognizing the Biden claim is Communist China. The Chinese government on Monday ignored questions on whether it would congratulate Joe Biden's claim of victory, a foreign ministry spokesman saying only that China would act in accordance to international practice. USA Radio News is not calling the race until all legal challenges are resolved. NASA Chief Jim Bridenstine told Aerospace Daily he will be stepping down, not for partisan reasons, but to ensure that politically NASA has the best chance of thriving under new leadership. The right question here is, what's in the best interest of NASA as an agency, and what's in the best interest of America's exploration program? Bridenstine said Sunday, the day after Democrat Joe Biden declared himself the winner of the 2020 U.S. presidential election. USA Radio News.
So, ladies and gentlemen, they're not about to let go of the cocoa. This is their, what you call Trojan horse to steal freedom. Whether Governor Herbert knows it or not, this is an absolute game being played with the people. It's dishonest as all get out. And as this cocoa virus continues, more evidence mounts about the fraud being perpetrated on the people. This is out of control. I understand that some people get sick. I get it. That's how they... You know, there's always a little bit of truth, poison pill truth in that lie. People are getting sick enough to where you can't deny that it exists and all that kind of stuff. But they're playing games. And really, what's the end game in the state of Utah? You lock down for 2 weeks, then what do? Say, hey, we haven't really got a handle on this. We got a lockdown. You got to have that continue. Or maybe you give a reprieve for a little while, but you continue to ratchet up the tracing and the isolation. So you got basically CI. You got test, trace, and isolate. That's what they're going for, Lowell, and that's not going to end anytime soon. A lot of people thought after the election the cocoa would go. Oh, no. Not so fast, my friend.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam, and I have another word to say about COVID testing. They're basing, you know, Governor Herbert is basing this mandate on the increase in people running to the hospital, and you know he's afraid that they're going to get so full that they won't be able to accommodate people who actually need hospital care. And that's a function of two things, Sam. Number one is the tests that they take, these PCR tests, which are mostly up to 90% of them are false positives, and we'll get to that in a second, why that's true. But people take these tests, they say you've been diagnosed with COVID, and then so they go to the hospital, which, you know, occupies the time and attention of the hospital staff. Now, number two is that most people do go to the hospital expecting some, or the drugstore, you know, looking for some remedy for this faux cold that they have, this flu that they supposedly have, even though they're asymptomatic. And that's a bad thing. There used to be, Sam, that people did not run to the hospital, didn't run to the doctor for a sniffle, let alone for a diagnosis of some test. You know, if I got the sniffles as a boy, then mom would nurse the cold so that my body cleansed and purified itself. We welcomed that opportunity to cleanse the body, and we drank herbal teas, and we got lots of rest, lots of fresh air, lots of sunshine, lots of like I said, rest. She very much emphasized the rest. So the body cleansed itself for a day or two or three, and then it's all better. And we never touched the medical industry, never went to doctors, never bothered the medical establishment with a cold, and let alone an asymptomatic diagnosis of the flu. It's incredible, Sam. So those two factors: one is the false positives from all these tests that are being done. Number two is that people run to their doctor, run to the hospital, you know, instead of going to Mother Nature, instead of going to, you know, what they know works to cleanse their bodies and to be well again. So, I mean, in other words, they're turning their back on their Creator, whose divine design of the body was a periodic purification of the body, and we're designed that way. And because we're designed that way, we do get sick from time to time. And we should welcome that opportunity, nurse the body, so encourage the flow of toxin and catarrh from the body. And then once you're purified again, you continue life, that you just go on, Sam. So those are the two things that I point out, you know, that's wrong with this whole approach. There's running to the doctor and then people not taking care of themselves when they are feeling sick, Sam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So I get, even if you want to say we don't want the hospitals to be overrun and too many people are running to the hospital, my response is we need a whole lot better training of when you need to go to the hospital and when you don't, and what you can do at home to decrease the likelihood of needing to go to the hospital. They don't do that. They don't talk about that. There's no efforts in that regard. All they say is, hey, the hospitals are about to be overwhelmed, and the only way is to lock everybody down. Now, the governor was very unique in his lockdown. He basically said, we're going to lock down all voluntary stuff, but we're not going to shut down the economy. And what they're searching for here, Lowell, in my personal opinion, is this. How can we keep the SARS ball in the air, keep the economic ball in the air, take away freedom all at the same time? How do we juggle all those three balls? What they did at first is they kept the corona ball in the air, but they dropped the economic ball, and everybody melted down and said, wait a minute, this can't last forever. So then they said, oh, don't worry, the economic ball's coming back. Now we're juggling the two. But how can they continue to use the cocoa to take away your liberty while keeping the other balls in the air? Hey, you can economically be viable enough while we continue to steal your freedoms and while we continue to ratchet up tracking of everyone. Okay, so that's the three balls they're balancing. And what he said was, hey, we're going to lock down all voluntary stuff, all the, fun stuff that you do, lock down. But we're going to keep businesses open. And I guess my point would be, why, how's that going to work? If we obey their mask idea, then the lockdown for personal, but the continue as usual for business stuff, isn't going to really work. Now, they've been telling us to wear masks, and they've been telling us to lock down, and they've been teetering on all this back and forth stuff for literally, 9 months now? Bordering on 10 months? And now they say the outbreak is just ratcheting up all over the country. How can that be if we've been social distancing, if we've been wearing masks, if we've been locking down? And their only answer would be, well, Lowell, you just haven't been doing it enough, buddy. You haven't been obeying the tyrannical orders enough. what you got to do is obey them more. But now medical doctors are blatantly warning that bacterial pneumonias are on the rise, Lowell.
Right, Sam. There's a group suing the mayor of Tulsa and the Tulsa Health Department Executive Director Bruce Dart because they're alleging the city's mask mandate is harmful to healthy people. And I would, if I lived in Tulsa, I'd be joining that lawsuit. I'd like to sue Governor Herbert for this mask mandate that goes into effect this afternoon at 1 p.m. There's a Dr. James Meehan, medical doctor, Meehan, don't know how to pronounce Meehan or Meehan, James Meehan, medical doctor. He warned that mask wearing has well-known risks that have been well-studied, and they're not being discussed in the risk analysis that we see here today. He says, I'm seeing patients that have facial rashes, fungal infections, bacterial infections. Reports coming from my colleagues all over the world are suggesting that the bacterial pneumonias are on the rise. Why might this be, he asks? Because untrained members of the public are wearing medical masks repeatedly in a non-sterile fashion. They're becoming contaminated. They're pulling them off of their car seat, off the rearview mirror, out of their pocket, out of their purse, off the countertop, wherever. They're reapplying a mask that should be worn fresh and sterile every single time. Now, I don't agree that you should be wearing a mask every single time, but if you're going to wear a mask, you need to do a fresh, sterile one. Otherwise, the bacterial...
Let me stop you. That's not sustainable or affordable. So here's what happened. By all the American people using their masks over and over and over, so far we haven't supposedly run out of masks. But Dr. Fauci lied in the beginning. He said we didn't need masks and they don't work and they're not helpful. And then it turns out that he claimed, hey, we got to have masks, we got to have masks. And then everybody brought up that he lied before or he's lying now. And then he said, okay, we're going to play that game again now, right? And what happened was he then said, well, I kind of lied because the medical professionals needed the masks and I didn't want to run a shortage. I didn't want to run a shortage on all that. So the debate raged on, but here's Dr. Fauci on that very point now.
There's a lot of confusion among people and misinformation surrounding face masks. Can you discuss that?
The masks are important for someone who's infected to prevent them from infecting someone else. Now, when you see people and look at the films in China and South Korea, whatever, everybody's wearing a mask. Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks...
All right, there you have it. So he blatantly said masks aren't doing the good people are told they're doing. Now when we play that soundbite, what they say is that's an outdated soundbite and we're skewing Dr. Fauci's comments. No, we're just holding him to a standard. Now the doctors are doubling down and saying exactly what Fauci said. The masks don't do any good and people are getting sick from them. But they continue to mandate them with reckless abandon.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, so Fauci has a credibility crisis. He first said wear masks. He first said don't wear masks. They said, are you sure? He said, yeah, they don't do any good. They just can get you sick if you're not careful anyway. Now doctors are documenting people getting sick. And the Utah governor issues a mask statewide mandate with fines. Folks are wanting to sue now. I think we ought to sue the governor, lol.
Yeah, well, he's being sued by Morgan Philpott and that other group, that parents group, and so we'll see where that goes.
All right, but a medical doctor warns people are getting sick from masks. This is nothing to play with, and even Fauci alluded to that in the soundbite I just played. Now he's saying you gotta have masks. But the credibility crisis for Fauci continues to go on. Now Dr. Fauci says COVID test has fatal flaw. Bill Sardi writes on this big time. John Rappaport also writes, Lowell has details.
Tony Fauci says, well, this is in a July 16 podcast. The podcast is apparently is named This Week in Virology. And in July 16 podcast, Tony Fauci says this, quote, the PCR COVID test is useless and misleading when the test is run at 35 cycles or higher, end of quote. Now, let's dig down into that for a second. A positive result, which means you've been infected by COVID, cannot be accepted or believed if the COVID test is run at 35 cycles or higher. Now, what is a cycle? Well, a cycle is a doubling of the amount of sample or pathogenic sample that you have in front of you. So they take a swab of your nose or whatever, and then they take a portion of that sample and they put it on a petri dish basically, and then they double the size of whatever's there, and then they double it again. That would be two cycles. They double it again. That would be three cycles. And it's an exponential growth of 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, and so forth, exponential growth. And how many ever cycles you do determines how much material you have in front of you.
In other words, what we're taking is a little piece of something from you, from your blood. We're then saying we're going to replicate it over and over. What they're saying is the more they replicate it, the worse their results become.
Yeah, it becomes too sensitive.
Is that a good summary?
Yeah, it's a great summary. It becomes too sensitive because, in other words, if you were to cycle this 35 or more times, you guarantee that you're going to find a piece of COVID in that sample. You guarantee it. But
hold on, stop. When you say a piece of COVID, they don't have the COVID isolated at all, ladies and gentlemen. So when they tell you they do, they're lying. The CDC even admits they don't have it isolated. They just don't have a copy. All right, so what we're saying is you will find a piece of the supposed COVID. And what I mean by that is the COVID, what they're using is their COVID guidance or their comparative. So when they test Lowell or Sam, they've got a piece of COVID they claim that they're comparing. That's nothing but a pattern of other people that they see that they believe are sick that they say, okay, this is the pattern we're going to use. But that pattern is no more COVID than your test. Okay, they're not comparing to COVID because they don't have the COVID. Okay, let's be very clear about this. So they're comparing your sample to another sample, and if you replicate yours because they only have a little teeny bit to start with, and they got to magnify it or duplicate it, replicate it enough to compare. If they do it too much, then it's out in the weeds. If they do it not enough, they can't get a good sampling. So they're suggesting there's a sweet spot of comparison, but they're not even comparing to the COVID. You understand that, right?
Totally. Absolutely.
Keep going. And I don't mean to stop you, but I want to really drill that home because they're falsely in science making you believe that they really have like a real true sample. This is the truth-telling comparison that we have here. That's a lie for starters.
Absolutely right, Sam. Now, John Rappaport continues. He writes this. The FDA says that the test should be up to 40 cycles in order to determine whether the virus is there. Well, what did Fauci just say? The test is useless at 35 cycles or higher, and yet the FDA says to everybody, all the testing organizations, that they should do 40 cycles. That is exponentially, you know, way above the 35 cycles that you know, Fauci says is useless. In other words, every single test is criminal in nature because they're not telling you, you know, they're doing it for too many cycles. And there's even a New York Times article, Sam, that says the number of amplification cycles needed to find the virus, called the cycle threshold, is never included in the results sent to doctors and coronavirus patients. So even if you go take this PCR test, you don't get back from the testing lab the number of cycles it went through. So Fauci has known since at least July, says Bill Sardi, that the most COVID cases are false. The U.S. routinely uses 42 to 45 cycles.
But let's be clear. Anthony Fauci says above 35 cycles doesn't give you a solid report. It can't be trusted. So we know that he knows, but he's never said that the test isn't accurate. The game is being played in that they don't tell you how many cycles they run it at. So Fauci has admitted the truth, but nobody in the media or anywhere else has tied that truth to what's really happening on the ground. So my question for Gary Herbert of the state of Utah, when he forces masks on everybody because the cocoa is going through the roof, I would ask Governor Gary Herbert, how many cycles are the Utah tests running at? And if he doesn't know the answer, I'd say, I don't mean to be rude, but you're just too ignorant to have this discussion. Why don't you get me somebody who knows? And if you get me somebody who knows then, and they say it's running below 35 cycles, then I'd say, you know what? Why don't we add that to every test result? And the question is, are they going to lie and fake the cycles in the lab? Or are they going to be honest and admit the truth? This is where the rub is. The disconnect is that Fauci's being honest in certain ways, but the bigger picture of the reality of how it's all going down, how it's working on the ground, in the lab, that's where the dishonesty happens. The lab technicians probably don't know any better either.
No, they're just given a number of cycles to do. They just do the number of cycles.
What they would say is, hey, you know what? The FDA told me to run this number of cycles.
Exactly.
So they're not accountable, right? So this is where the game is all going down, folks. And John Rappaport writes, let me back this up for you. Fauci says the test is useless when it runs over 35 cycles. But the FDA says run the cycle at about 42 cycles to see if the virus is there. But even at the cycle list that we're running, we're comparing to something that's not really there either. So how do we know if the test is the cocoa if we don't have the sample of the cocoa to compare to? Lol, how dumb am I?
Yeah, it's crazy, Sam. And I think I read one report by Bill Sardi or John Rappaport, one of the two, that said that they have 10,000 of these genes or pieces, and they have 37 identified out of 10,000, and that's they're basing their whole diagnosis of COVID-19 on this very, very incomplete picture. It's like 37 pieces of a 10,000 piece puzzle. They can sort of hook those 37 pieces together, and they say, well, that fits the pattern. It must be COVID-19. So yeah, you're right. They don't have.
Hold on, that
a
fits
sample.
The guess pattern. That's not a factual pattern. That's an assessment downstream from science reality pattern, meaning, well, we see that when people are sick, this is what we see. But that doesn't mean that it's factual at all. And the asymptomatic piece is up to 25%, they claim. And then when you put that together with a test cycle ran wrong, you've got a recipe for flat out dishonesty a truck can drive through, sir.
It's fraud on a massive scale, Sam, and they really need to be held liable for this fraud. They're hurting people. They're shutting down businesses. Some will be closed forever, and they're scaring people. And worst of all, we're hurting the cause of liberty because people are giving up their liberty in hope of a little bit of temporary safety and security.
And there is no vaccine for tyranny, ladies and gentlemen.
None at all, Sam. In fact, by the way, before I forget it, the average vaccine is done in 15 years. If you want to develop an effective, viable vaccine, all throughout history over the past 100 years, it's taken an average of 15 years to develop. The fastest vaccine ever developed is 7 years. And yet we have promises of developing an effective, safe and effective vaccine in less than 18 months. Yeah, I don't think so. Plus, we've never vaccinated for the cold, common cold. And that's what a coronavirus generates, the common cold. And it's so stupid for us to be thinking that we're going to eventually, you know, in the near future, have a vaccine for that. Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, they might market something that they say is a COVID vaccine, but it ain't it, folks.
Well, the World Health Organization did admit that lockdowns cause more harm than good. You would think all politicians would end lockdowns based on that information, but no.
Not at all, man. They continue to lock down. Instead of admitting lockdowns are a mistake, the politicians just double down and claim that we can't return to normalcy until the coronavirus vaccine is in wide use. And that's where Ron Paul points out that, you know, the fastest vaccine ever done was done in 7 years. The average time is 15 years. And so this suggests we'll be in lockdown for quite a few more years, folks. The COVID-19 vaccine trials are not going well, as you likely know. I mean, the animals they subject them to, they die. The humans that they give this to get sick. So it's not looking good for the initial trials of these vaccines. Well, the assault on our liberty, Sam, will not end with deployment and use of a vaccine. That's for sure. This, Ron Paul goes into more detail about that. We need to remember, Sam, that government programs are never limited to their initial specification, right? The Social Security number was never to be used for anything other than the administration of the Social Security program. Of course, now your SS number, their social, they call it, is used for nearly everything.
Yeah, they even used to have on the card not to be used for identification purposes. Now they've taken that off as well.
That's right. The Privacy Act of 1974 guaranteed that, and look what's happened. Well, Fauci's engaged digital certificate plan could and likely will be expanded to include proof of individuals have received a variety of other vaccines and medical treatments. This digital certificate might even extend to monitoring a person's lifestyle choices on the grounds that unhealthy habits, you know, make one more susceptible to diseases. So this digital certificate could also be tied to the Real ID program that would deny individuals who have not been vaccinated, deny them the right to travel. It might be combined with a future mandatory E-Verify system to deny unvaccinated people the right to hold a job, and so on and so forth. Sam, sounds to me like the mark of the beast that John discussed in the book of Revelation, Sam.
Sounds like to me tyranny has no end, folks. And I get the panic. I get the claimed pandemic. I get the so-called, emergency purposes, or the ends justify the means, or whatever you want to use to quantum leap and justify, well, we just can't have the normal rules, Sam. It's a pandemic. It's a disaster. It's a emergency. It's a whatever claim they have for expediency to get you to trade your freedom for security, folks. Know that you got to catch them at the lie. And if you wait too long to catch them at the lie, you won't be able to stop their secret combinations and their push towards tyranny. Whether it be COCO, the COVID, whether it be the elections, whether it be riots in the streets, all things are culminating to say for expediency reasons, we have to deny your liberty to you. But don't worry, it's temporary. The satanic lies continue. We're here to tell the truth. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, syndicated by Loving Liberty Radio Networks, lovingliberty.net. Lowell, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
Doing a phenomenal job, as always. For Lowell Nelson, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, we declare this nation shall endure. You better turn to God, folks. God save the Republic of the United States of America.